tonight's scripture, please, which is found in Psalm chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Psalm chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as with a shield. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are here tonight. We thank you that you did it all for us, Lord. We rejoice tonight because we trust in you. And Father, we find joy and pleasure in trusting in you, because we know that you will take care of us, Lord. We thank you that we can have joy in knowing this, Father, and we pray that tonight you be with our preacher. You speak through him tonight. And Father, as he shares his heart with us, as he gives us what you have given him, Lord, prepare us, mold us, and shape us more into the image of Jesus Christ. As the preaching comes, Lord, let us not resist it, but let us openly accept it. And let us openly accept the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as he molds us and shapes us and gives us that wonderful, Lord, reflection of Jesus Christ. Mold our hearts so tonight, and be with our preacher and help him as he brings us this message. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to take off my jacket here. It's a little bit warmer up here, but I think I'll be fine with that. Another simple message this evening. I probably, between today and this morning and tonight, there are probably two messages that normally are a little bit different than what I'm used to preaching, but of course they're all Bible, and I think Bible thoughts, obviously. And this is not a message I actually had planned for tonight. It's not really a typical Sunday night message that I would generally preach. And again, I do have other messages. If this one does not seem to be working, I'll just go to my office and go get the other one. But that should not happen. But I want to talk to you a little bit about joy this evening. Our text verse is, "But let all those that put their trust in thee, let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Actually, this is a command. This is David, of course, writing. It's a very dark day of his life. Psalm 5 was written by David. It was written during a very dark period of his life. The darkest hours, no doubt, was when David's son Absalom wanted to kill him. And also another dark hour in David's life was when King Saul became very jealous of David and made a constant attempt to kill him. In verse number 11, he writes, "But let all those," okay, that's a command here, "let all those," okay, "put their trust in thee, rejoice." He says, put their trust. Okay, if all of us, all of you, Christians, all of you, you put your trust in Christ, rejoice. Okay, that word rejoice actually means to joy over and over again. Okay, you rejoice, and then you keep on being joyful and doing it continuously. So rejoice, let them ever shout for joy. That's why I say it's okay to shout and be excited. That's why, let me just say this. You know, we shouldn't be stuffy tonight. I know it's a little stuffy in here as far as the temperature, maybe a little bit. But as far as our spirit, we shouldn't be stuffy and, cold and so forth. You know, you can shout for joy. You can say amen once in a while. And you can shout for joy. And when God does something good in your life, shout for joy and say amen. Well, I had a wonderful thing happen a few weeks ago. It was a phone call and so forth. And it was actually just some business stuff here. For the church and so forth, and this guy, he was not a Christian at all, but when he gave me an answer, he says, I just rejoiced. I said, well, praise the Lord, and all of a sudden, I was just dancing around, literally dancing around my office. It's okay. I was excited about, and he says, boy, you're really excited. I said, yes, sir, I am. It was just a big relief, and I was just so thrilled and so very excited about it, but that's what the Bible says. That's what David says. He was in the darkest hour of his life. Absalom, his own son wanted to go ahead and kill him and destroy his kingdom, and also King Saul wanted to go ahead and kill him and so forth, but what does David say? But let all those, He's putting himself in that category. But let all those put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. You know, God is a defender. Okay, God is not an offender, if you will, but God is someone that, you know what, you can count on God. He'll stand for you. And that's why it's so important for us to stand for him. Amen. You know, the CD played a while ago, Stand for Jesus. You know what? We ought to be defending the name of Jesus, and he's defended your cause. Amen. Because thou defendest them, let them that love thy name be joyful in thee. Well, you know, the most beautiful name there is Jesus. Well, you know what? Just the sound of that name, Jesus. Boy, that ought to bring a certain joy to your heart. The very fact that Jesus, doesn't matter whether you're in the Molly Grubs tonight. It doesn't matter what you are as far as your attitude or your spirit, your personal spirit tonight. But you know what? The very fact that Jesus, he saved your soul, that ought to bring joy to your heart. That ought to bring your excitement to your heart. But here, David, that's what he said. He said, you know, let all those who put their trust in me. I'm going over this verse a little bit. I want you to know, I want you to get this verse in your mind. Let them shout for joy because thou defendest them. And let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. David, very, very dark period of his life. Of course, to explain the stories of Absalom and King Saul, 2 Samuel talks about Absalom and his men wanting to overthrow and hurt David and his kingdom. David had to flee his own son. I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine hatred being so strong that David had to just literally run from his son. You know, the truth of the matter is there ought to be love there, but there was no love here. David had to flee his own son. He had to run from his child, one that hated him enough to go ahead and hurt him and want to do him much harm. And the grief that I can't imagine the grief that Daddy David, if you will, must have been going through here. Also, another because of this dark period, also another dark period, I think, in David's life, referring to 1 Samuel 16, it talks of how a young David at that time was brought to Saul. Saul had an evil spirit about him, you remember, and Saul wanted him to go ahead and play some sweet music and so forth, and David was that man. And Saul grew, the Bible says Saul grew to love him. And David became King Saul's armor bearer, and David was well favored in the sight of Saul. But over a course of events, David killed the giant. Saul placed him as a top commander. But in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 and 7, it reads, "And it came to pass as they came when David had returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And at that time, King Saul became very jealous. At that time, jealousy became so strong in Saul that he ran after David and he sought to kill David, causing David to flee the hand of Saul. You know, the Bible says, again, our text verse 5:11, let all those that rejoice. Now, think about this a moment. The very darkest periods of David's life, David is saying rejoice. David is saying rejoice. David, through it all, he found circumstance, or he found reason to be happy in the midst of the toughest circumstances of his life. You know, we go around today, and the economy seems to have stolen the joy of America. And even in our Christian world, if we want to put it that way, the economy has kind of even stolen some of our joy. You know, and I want to ask you tonight, what has stolen your joy? Is it the economy? Is it the circumstance that you may be going through and it just, you feel like, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get through this. I don't know if this is ever going to end. And you walk with your head down and your shoulders are drooped and so forth. There's no zip in your step. There's no zap about you, if you will. There's no smile on that face that we ought to have. You're down in the Molly Grubs. Kind of a poochy lip has gotten you, if you will, as Patch of Pirates sings. But Christians, you know, Christians ought to be, and I've said it probably 100 times behind this pulpit, we ought to be the happiest Christians, happiest people in the world. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. We ought to be the ones that portray what true joy and true happiness is, because true joy comes through Jesus Christ. We ought to be the one to pass on happiness to those who struggle. We ought to have that ministry, if you will, of joy to lend a helping hand to someone who's going through it. Yes, I understand. I'm not belittling our own problems, but you know, sometimes, you know, my problems often get lifted when I go help somebody else. You know what? When I can put a smile on somebody else's face, even when I may have a trial, even when I may have a struggle, even when I may not feel like smiling, you know what? But I get up and I put a smile on, knowing that Jesus, He's in control. God's in control of it all. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Instead of me kind of sitting there and not being productive, and that's what happens, is when we lose our joy, we kind of lose our desire, our heart to do anything. We lose that joy or our heart to serve God. That Sunday school class just really isn't that exciting if there's a circumstance in your life and you just can't get that pep about you. That bus route just isn't so exciting if you can't go ahead and get out of that rut, if you will, and you're just kind of going around and saying, woe is me, and so forth. The serving God just isn't what you want it to be or what you expected it to be. You know, so often sometimes people think, you know, you get saved, everything's going to be wonderful. That's not reality. Now, don't get me wrong, this is a wonderful life, okay? This is a joyous life, and this is the best life. I wouldn't trade the Christian life in all the world, but let me tell you something. When the devil sees you doing being productive for the Lord, and when the devil sees you doing some great things for God, you know what? The devil ain't very happy about that, and he'll put a little pressure on you. He'll go ahead and pick and pick and pick. He'll go ahead and pick on you individually. He'll pick on a preacher who wants to stick by the stuff and the old-time religion and so forth. And he doesn't like that very much. So he'll go ahead and pick and pick and pick. He'll go ahead and take a church like this who stood strong for these many, many years, stood with a Bible, stood with the standards, stood with the music. And let me tell you something. The devil doesn't go ahead and like that. So what's he going to do? He's going to go ahead and pick and pick and pick. But the truth of the matter is, we can't lose our joy. We can't lose our stand. We got to go ahead and rely and understand that no matter what the devil throws our way, no matter what the world throws our way, God's still in control. He's still in control. And everything, you know what? And you may live in the lowest valley right now, but you know what? You can still sit there in the valley and sing, everything's all right in my Father's house, because it is. Because it is. Hey, listen, you know what? David, you know, he had a hard time, you know, living in his circumstances. It had to have been a very difficult time to be joyous. And we ought to be like a David here. I'm pleading with you, boy, if you're down and you go through different things, you know what? You need to go ahead and take some advice from David, and you need to carry on that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible teaches. You ought to be the happiest person on earth. You ought to be the happiest person on your job. You ought to, you know what? Yeah, okay, maybe there's some problems at home. Maybe there's some bills. Maybe there's some different things, but you go to that job with a little bit of a zap and a smile, say, okay, God, before I go to work, you're driving your way into work, say, Lord, you give me the strength, give me the joy that comes with your strength. God, be with me, give me what I need today. And by the way, he'll go ahead and do it, but sometimes we don't ask. You know, we live down there, and the truth of the matter is, we have not joy because we ask not. We don't have the joy because we ask not. We may not have some of the some wonderful things or some of the blessings because we simply don't ask for them. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to be happy, and our happiness ought to spill over to other people. Our joy ought to spill over to other people. Well, you know what? You may go through it, but like I said before, you lend a helping hand to someone that's going through it. You know what? For some odd reason, it brings joy to your heart. It does bring joy to your heart. His joy should reflect from off of us. This evening, I know that there's some heartaches. I know there's some illnesses. I know there's some death. I know there's maybe a death of a friend or a loved one in recent months or years. I know there's going to be disappointments. There's grief here, maybe this evening. Maybe there's a loss of a job. Maybe someone has disappointed you. And maybe there's been some financial woes. And you wonder, I don't know if I can go ahead and keep on making it. And you just wonder, it just keeps on piling up and piling up. And I understand there's some struggles represented here this evening. Many have called. I've had some calls just this week of people that are just going through some tough situations, not necessarily here, but elsewhere up in Maine, people going through some difficult situations. And some of you have told me some of the weights that you're going through, that you're bearing, and you wonder, how can I really make it? I don't think it's worth fighting anymore. Let me just say this before you go ahead and throw in the towel. It's worth it. It is worth fighting. You know, the Christian life is the greatest life in the world. Don't you throw in the towel on God. He didn't throw in the towel on you. By the way, he's there. He's there. Sometimes even God, you know what, we may go ahead and blame some of our struggles on the devil and so forth, but sometimes God puts a little pressure on us. You know, don't forget, God allowed the devil to go ahead and put a little pressure on Job. You know what, and Job went through it. And you know what, Job through it all, I love the verse, I was reading it the other day, though he slay me. You know, he said, yeah, well, I trust him. Amen. Boy, Job, you know what, and I don't think there's anybody here tonight that really went through all that Job went through. But you know what? And he was, boy, the lowest of the low. I could not even imagine. I couldn't even imagine. David didn't even have it like that. You know, Job lost everything. But yet he said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. You know, boy, Job is a great example of one that just stuck with the Lord. He didn't go ahead and throw in the towel. Your joy you once have seemed to have been robbed tonight. You feel the peace has been stripped. That calmness is gone. You know, you just kind of wonder where's, you know, that calmness is just not there. You say, I want it back. I want the peace that I had. So tonight I want to share a few thoughts on why is it that we may not be happy? Why is it that we have no joy this evening? Why is it that we have the troubled look? Oh, we're saved. We know we're saved. I trust everybody here tonight, you know Jesus as Savior, and the truth of the matter is you won't know real joy until you do. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, most of the simple, practical points I have tonight won't necessarily point to the unsaved. It's going to point to us. Why is it that we may have lost our joy? Why is the calmness gone? Why is it that we just blah? I know, number one, it could be that there might be sin in your life that has not been dealt with. You see, if you live with sin as a Christian, you know, God ought to be picking at you. And by the way, that's a good sign. If you're a Christian tonight and you've got some unknown sin to everybody else in the world except for God, and the Holy Spirit's picking at you and picking at you and picking at you, and you know you're miserable. By the way, that's a good thing. It proves that you're his child and it proves that he loves you. And the Bible teaches that he's going to chastise you a little bit. He may whip you around a little bit. You know what? Why is it that you may not have joy tonight? What is it? What is that secret sin that only you and God know about it? And you may think, well, God doesn't really know about it. Yes, he does. You know what? You can hide it on everybody. I've said it before. You can hide it on every human being around. But you know the most important person in your life, which is Jesus Christ, you can never hide that sin on him. He knows exactly what music you're listening to. He knows exactly your thoughts. He knows what you've been looking at. He knows what you've been listening to. He knows what you've been watching on TV. He knows what you may be been viewing on the internet. He knows all about you. And the truth of the matter, you may think, hey, nobody knows about it, but Jesus does. And it might be you've lost your joy, Christian, tonight, simply because there's some sin in your life that you've not confessed. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise by God, but the truth of the matter is you're not going to have the joy. Don't expect the joy and the happiness that the Christian life can go ahead and give you until you lay it out on the altar, until you say, I surrender all. Oh, you know what? We sing the song. It's a great song, by the way. I love that song. I think it's a great invitation song, but don't you go ahead and sing it if you can't do it. Amen. You know what? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. Do you mean it when you sing it? When you sing it in your heart, do you mean it? Hey, you know what? Jesus wants all. He wants you to go ahead and give it up. Whatever it is in your life tonight, you know what? You can't have joy in your life until that one thing you're thinking about right now. Teenager, that one thing you're thinking about right now. That one, maybe adult, that one thing that you're thinking about right now. Hey, you know what? You lost your joy. It might be because of some sin that's not been dealt with. Yeah, we need to keep our heart clean before God. The Holy Spirit that indwells you at salvation is that communicator. You know what? You know, the Bible says don't quench your spirit. You know, and the truth of the matter is, and you know, the Holy Spirit is there to, he's got several different ministries, and he's there to go ahead and convict you. He's there to go ahead and communicate to you many, many different things, but especially if you go ahead and you fall into sin, you know, he's there to say, hey, you know what, Sean, you shouldn't have done that. You know what we're supposed to do immediately? It's okay. You know what you're doing? You're quenching the spirit at that time. You're literally throwing water upon the spirit. And he's not going to go ahead and communicate with you effectively because you are quenching him. And the truth of the matter is you are keeping him from the ministry that he has in your heart that will help keep your act cleaned up and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, you know, he's there, he's communicating, but if you go out, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal to the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't, he wouldn't be going ahead and pricking your heart. And the truth of the matter is, he's there to communicate with you, to go ahead and help you lay it out on the altar and get some things right. You know what? You might have a dirty heart this evening, but you got to go ahead and get it right. There might be some sin in your life tonight, and you cannot have the true joy and that calmness in your life that you once may have had simply because of what? You know, I don't know it. You say, well, preacher, you're on my toes. I don't know if I'm on your toes or not. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, it might be that the Holy Spirit's trying to help you fill in the blank. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And he's trying to get you to realize, hey, you know what? You want prosperity? You want some joy? You want blessing? You got to go ahead and just give it to me, man. The Bible says, David writes in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Boy, you ought to pray that, God, search me. Every single day, you ought to go ahead and say, God, search me. Search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Whatever there is, God, you go ahead. I'll lay it out. I'll give it to you. I don't want anything to hinder me from your will. I don't want anything to hinder me from being an effective daddy. I don't want anything to be hinder me from being an effective pastor. I don't want anything to be hinder me from being an effective Sunday school teacher. I don't want anything to hinder me from being an effective testimony for you, Lord. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me. You know what, God? You may have to put a little pressure on me and know my thoughts. Go ahead and try me. Search me, God. Search me. We ought to pray that prayer every day. God, search me. God, you search out my heart. God, you clean up my act. Boy, when God goes in and puts a little pressure, he wants to pull away. He gets that pruning knife out, so to speak. You know, don't you go ahead and push him away. You let him go ahead and cut off what he needs. You let him cut off that residue, if you will, that dirt, if you will, that dead branch, if you will. You know, the Bible teaches John 15 that if you're going to, he wants you to not just bear fruit, but he wants you to bear much fruit. Ultimately, he wants you to be cleansed, and he'll go ahead and purge you so that you can go ahead and become better and become the kind of Christian that you ought to be so that you can go ahead and be productive. Hey, when God goes ahead and takes out that pruning knife, let him go ahead and cut it away. Let him have it, man. Teenager, let it have it. Let him have it. You know, whatever it is, maybe it's your stinking rebellion against mama and dad. You know, the Bible says rebellion is sin and witchcraft. Think about that. And if I know my terminology right a little bit, witchcraft is satanic. Am I right? Amen. We don't maybe like that thought very well. So that means if I am rebellious, who am I serving? Think about that. Who am I serving? Who takes precedence? You know, and God says, hey, you know what, teenager? You know what, maybe it might be a mom or a dad, it might be an adult tonight. Hey, you know what, you got some rebellion in your heart, and you want the joy of the Lord, you want the blessings of God. Hey, you know, until you get rid of that stinking rebellion, And God will go ahead. God wants to bless you, by the way. He wants to go ahead and give you, he wants to make you joyous, but you can't have joy with sin in your heart. Not the kind of joy that Christianity can bring. You may hide it for a while. You may hide it on your husband, wife, your dad, but you can never hide that sin on Jesus, on the Lord. Hey, you know what, God? You ought to say, God, whatever it is, clean up my act, man. Whatever it is, you go ahead and you let him go ahead and cut it away. Don't let unconfessed sin steal your joy tonight. It could be, number two, maybe a burden. You have a burden, but you're not willing to let God handle it. I don't know what it is. It might be a heavy, heavy burden, and you might sit there, and I've seen it. I'm going to have this microphone, the one Deb had, the red one. I don't know what it is, but you might feel like, man, you've had so many burdens in your life, and you just feel like, man, just about the time you get hit the victory road again, you just go ahead and you fall back again, and here you are. You're so weighted down. You're so weighted down, and you feel like nobody understands. Nobody cares. God, if you really cared, why is it that I feel like I'm always going through this? Struggles, trials. I don't get it, God. You know, I remember when I was in college, Made it a the early part of my life was a career in college, by the way. It took me 10 years. A lot of it's because of my foolishness. I know that. My lack of dedication and what have you. But I remember one of the rounds, if you will, that I went to Bible college, I used to, you know, I kind of blame God. God, you know, you want me to go to Bible college, but why is it that there didn't seem to be any jobs out there? There just didn't seem to be anything. And God, why is this happening? God, you know, and I was, and I'll admit, I'm preaching the choir right now. I'm preaching to myself, and God whipped me around a little bit, but, you know, it seems like, God, you want me to be a preacher. You want me to do this. But why can't things be a little bit easier? You know, God later on revealed to me that, you know what, it takes work. Okay, I'm not afraid of work, but I just was not happy with some of the things that were coming my way. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I got very lazy during that period. I wanted things my way. I just thought, you know, basically, truth of the matter is, my flesh was looking for a way out. You know, if I had gone ahead and been nurtured my relationship with God during that period, like I should have, I probably would have made it through it. But so often, you know what, we go through burdens, and I was going through some burdens and different things, and I've gone through them through the years and so forth. And sometimes we lose our joy because of the burdens, and we just feel like, God, you don't understand. God, you don't really understand. Truth of the matter is, He does. You may be going through maybe financial woes and so forth. God knows how much money you have in the bank. You know, and you know how much money you have in the bank. Maybe it's some health issue or something like that, and you know, and so forth. God knows just what you need to go ahead and get your health back on track. Hey, what I'm trying to say here this evening is the truth is you may be going through some sad times. You may have lost your joy simply because you have a burden and you're not willing to say, God, here. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You're not willing to let Him handle it. You're not willing to go ahead and, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, I love this verse more and more as I get even deeper into the ministry. I love this verse, casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. You know, the truth is you've lost your joy. You might be in the molly grubs simply because you've had burden after burden, and you feel like God's not listening. You feel like maybe the preacher's not, you feel like nobody really cares. So therefore, you're carrying the burden all by yourself, and you're weighted down, and you've got no joy. And the truth of the matter is, God says in Matthew 11:28, He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, you know what? Each and every day, you know what? You may get up tomorrow with that burden, come unto Him. You may get up on Tuesday with that burden, come unto Him. You may get up still on Wednesday with that burden, and it's still not eased up. But you just keep on going unto Him. You just keep on coming unto Him. You just keep on coming unto Him. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You go ahead and you take that burden, and you literally, that word cast literally says, means to throw. Well, I tell you what, when you throw something at somebody, I mean, that, whoa. But that's what that literally means. If you go ahead and throw it, He says, you know what? You can give me all the burdens you got, and God's big enough to handle it. You know what? And the truth of the matter is, some of you tonight, you lose your joy, and the truth because of a burden, you're not willing to go ahead and you don't feel like God can handle it. He knows all. He handles all. He has all money. He knows the economy. He knows the job situation. He knows the health situation. He knows it all. And the very truth of the matter is, we've lost our faith in God, and we've lost our faith in coming to the altar and saying, okay, God, here it is. I can't take it anymore. The truth of the matter is, you may have to get on your knees and just cry and say, here, God. God, take it. I can't take it anymore, God, but here it is, God. I'll give it to you. I'll go ahead and give it to you. I'm going to trust you with it. I don't know if you can handle it, but the Bible says you can, and you say to cast it upon you. So I'm giving you a whole truckload, God. And He says, it's okay. I'm big enough to handle it. Doesn't matter what you're going through. It could be multiple things. It could be multiple people. God's got control of this whole world, and the whole world can go ahead and throw anything on Him. And guess what? He won't budge one bit. It won't knock Him down one bit. Hey, you lost your joy tonight? Could it be because you just stopped taking your burdens to the one that can handle them? Could it be that you stopped going to the one that can handle it, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, God? Jesus says, give me your struggle. Give me your heartache.
Throw it on me. I can handle it. Give me your trial. Give me your illness. Give it to him. Your financial struggle, give it to him. Your disappointments, give it to him. He says, just give it all to me. The economy, give it to him. God's in control. We worry about things that may not be. I mentioned that this morning. That may not even come to pass. But you know, it doesn't matter what goes on down the road, and you're already worrying about it, and you've already still got everything, but you're worried about the very things that you're involved in, and you still have your job, and your bills are paid. You start worrying about it. The truth of the matter is, instead of worrying about it down the road, just be praying about the situations now. If you're in it, you've got the bills. I mean, you've got the finances. You've got the job. You've got the health. Be thanking God and be praying for your health now. Preventive maintenance, amen? But the truth of the matter is, we fail to go ahead and give him the burdens, the trials. Number three, have we lost our joy? It might be because we become ignorant of the blessings of God. But every single day, you know, we live in a land of plenty. We really do. The greatest land in the world. You know, when you think about it, we're a spoiled people. We really are. Probably most of us tonight, I'm assuming, we have a roof over our heads that we're going to be driving to later on. We have a bed to sleep in. You could go to your cupboard and there's going to be some food there. Maybe it's not exactly what you like, but it's food. It's sustenance. You could go to your refrigerator and it may not be the soda that you want, but it might be Walmart, Sam's Cola. It might be just bottled water, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, we really do live in a land of plenty. And I find, you know, those of us Christians who have it good, we all have it good here tonight. Sometimes when we fail to recognize how good God is to us, you know what? We actually begin to lose our joy a little bit. It's kind of weird, but we kind of begin to lose our joy. We kind of get used to it. Well, God's going to, you know, your car's running, everything's going well, and even if it isn't, God still blesses you with life. Think about the very fact you got up and you're breathing today. You know, that's more than some people. That's more than probably 100,000 people more in this world today. I don't know who died. They didn't wake up at all. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? God has been good to us. Maybe we become ignorant of his blessings. You know, the Bible says three times in Psalms, three times the same verse, Psalm 107:1, Psalm 118:1, and Psalm 118:29, all the same verse. And to me, it's just God, when God has to repeat himself like this, I think he's trying to get us to pick, he's emphasizing something. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Oh, give thanks. Well, you know, every single day you ought to get up. You get up in the morning and you're breathing, thank God. You get up in the morning, you go shower, you got some maybe warm water, half cold water, I don't know what the case may be, but you can go ahead and clean yourself, thank God. You can go ahead and you have a little bit of cereal or a little bit of breakfast before you go to work, thank God. You have a job that you get to go ahead and go to, and maybe it's not exactly what you wish it was, but you have a job, and you know, a lot of people would be happy with the job that you have that you're griping about. There's a whole lot of people out there that'd be happy with the very car that you drive, but we gripe about, well, it just has four bald tires. Well, praise the Lord. If it's getting you from point A to point B, it kind of sputters a little bit. If it gets you from point A to point B, it's still better than some. It's still better than what some have. You know what? You know, most people, if they lived in the house that you lived in, drove the car that you drive, wore the clothes that you wear, ate the food that you ate, you know, the truth of the matter is, they think that they would be sitting in a king's palace. You know, that's very, very true. But how often we become very ignorant, if you will, of the very blessings that God has given us and so forth, and we sit there, and while the car isn't a Ford, well, praise the Lord if you got a Ford, amen? Amen. All right. If you're not a Ford man tonight, well, you know what? The altar's right here for later, and you may need to do some business with God. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, maybe it's not a Ford. Maybe it's maybe the food is generic. Maybe you know, it's not the most beautiful house in the world. But the truth of the matter is, God gave it to you, and you ought to be excited. You ought to thank God. Thank you, God, for the roof over my head. Thank you for my paycheck. Thank you for my car. Thank you for the clothes on my back. God, thank you for all that you've done for me. Boy, that makes me happy knowing that God provides me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because he's good. Because he's good. We get sick, we blame God. We have a heartache, we blame God. And the truth of the matter is, we need to thank God for everything he's given us. Stop, you know, stop dwelling on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. Thank God for that roof, that food, that car, his word. You know, tonight we have the living word of God. Boy, you ought to get in and read it. It'll give you a sustenance. It'll give you the strength that you need to sustain you from day to day, each and every day. Thank God for your salvation. Where would you be without salvation? If Jesus said, nah, if he said, call the angels and deliver me from this cross, there'd be no reason for us to be here tonight. We'd all be doomed for hell. I thank God he died on that cross for you and me tonight and gave us salvation. We ought to thank God for a good church. Thank God for a great church. Well, I thank God, you know, yeah, I'm pastor and maybe I'm a little I'm pleased about my church, obviously, the church that we have here, but you know, I thank God for a good church. We ought to thank God for a church that just stands up and sticks with the stuff and so forth and does not waver. I praise God for this people and this church. Thank God for your family. Boy, you ought to thank God every day for your family. I do. You know, I mentioned this morning, time does fly. It goes by so very fast. Boy, you ought to cherish the moments that you have with your kids and with your wife and with your husband now. You still have your mama and daddy around, and maybe they're up in years, but you ought to be thanking God. You ought to be thanking God for them, and you ought to connect with them on the phone on a regular basis. Hey, thank God for your family. Thank God for your job. Boy, the list goes on. Boy, God's blessed us. God's given us a lot of reason to be happy tonight. If you would go ahead and look at your life in perspective, you will probably find it's not really all that bad. Not really. Now listen, I'm not discounting the problems. I'm not discounting the heartaches. Don't misunderstand me. We all have that. But you know what? Being a child of God tonight and knowing that God's given us life and knowing that we may be in the lowest of low, you know what? We're not going through it by ourselves. You know what? We have God. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know what? You could be on the highest mountain. You know what? He's there. You can be halfway down and he's there. But you know what? You could be in the lowest of all low tonight and you can have the faith in knowing that he's with you. Hey, thank God for being God. Thank God for his character. Boy, we certainly do have a lot to be happy about. Before we lose our joy simply because we've never received it in the first place. What I'm talking about briefly here is salvation. You can never have the joy that one who has come to the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, they realize they were a sinner. They realize there's a price on sin. And if we died in our sin without Jesus, the Bible says hell would be our eternal destiny. And until we open our heart and realize we're a sinner, we ask Jesus to come in and clean us up and to cleanse us from our sin. And when we ask him to come into our heart and save us, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you will be able to attain that mansion that he's building for you in heaven. You know what? And the truth is, you can't have real joy until you've gone ahead and done that. The preacher can't do it for you. The most godly person in the church can't do it for you. No communion can go ahead and do it for you. No baptism can go ahead and do it for you. No church name or denomination can go ahead and do it for you. No pope, no priest, no pastor, no minister, no rabbi. Only Jesus can give you the ultimate joy through his saving blood. Maybe you don't have joy tonight simply because you've never received it in the first place. You know, the world tonight, you know what? They're looking for joy here and there. They're looking for joy in a booze bottle. They're looking for joy in financial success. They're looking for joy in other worldly pleasures, but they always come up empty. You know, you can go ahead and earn all the money and have all the money that you want. Wow. Huh. I didn't know I had a $20 bill. Whoa. Party. No. Now, don't tell. I'm getting off track here. Some of you knew what I was going to say. So, anyways, don't tell her. Anyways, but you know what? You'll always come up empty if you're looking for joy in things. If you're looking for joy in stuff, you know what? You can't take this stuff with you. You can't take the fine dining. You can't take the fine home. And again, I'm not against, and by the way, let me just say this. You know, someone always says, every time you preach against having worldly possessions, you know, you just speak of it. So I'm not speaking of it. If you have them, great. If God blessed you with them, great. If you have a Ford Mustang, just leave it off here. Amen. We can laugh tonight. It's okay. But the truth of the matter, what I'm trying to say, listen, you can't take your stuff with you. And you know what, some here, you know what, maybe there's somebody here tonight, there's no joy there, it's lacking simply because you've never trusted Christ as Savior. And you cannot have the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory until you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Jesus is the one that brings true joy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, the most abundant life is the Christian life tonight. Boy, all of you who've been saved for a while, or been saved for a month or years, you can testify to that. You know that, boy, you're living an abundant life tonight. And you have looked all over for joy and you've never received Jesus. You're troubled with your eternal destiny. You're not sure if you're on your way to heaven, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can know it tonight. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can have the joy in knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and that you're going to have that mansion in heaven, in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, one of these days, you know what, as a child of God, he's going to come on back, he's going to take his own, and I look forward to attaining my mansion. I look forward to running up and down the streets of gold. I look forward to the streets of gold, the river of life, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. But nothing's more than I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus' nail-scarred hands. Hey, one day, because I'm saved and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, hey, I'm going to be with Jesus, and that's joy. The Christian life's the most joyous life in the world, and if you don't know Jesus tonight, it's no wonder you have no joy. You can search for it in the bar room. You can search for it in relationships. You can search for it in Hollywood. You can search for it in rock music, but the truth of the matter is you'll never find true joy until you get saved. True joy comes from knowing Jesus as personal Savior. Do you know him? Would you like to know the joy of knowing him? Have the joy of knowing him? Would you like to be saved tonight? If you'd like to be saved, boy, if you're not saved tonight, boy, you ought to make that decision. Don't put, you know, again, the Bible says life's but a vapor. You know, it vanishes away just like that. And the truth of the matter is, boy, you ought to go ahead and settle that thing. You ought to settle that thing. If you don't know for sure tonight that you're going to heaven to be with Jesus forever, you ought to call upon him. True joy is knowing Jesus. I'll close in just a second, but maybe you're here tonight, you're a little disappointed. Has your joy disappeared because of disappointment? Is there some sin in your life that you know you got to deal with? You know the joy and the calmness that you once had. And even when you were going through the trials, you still had the calmness. Even when you're on the mountaintops, you obviously had the calmness, but it's, Christian, it's gone, isn't it? It's gone, isn't it? You know, you're just kind of rattled tonight. You're just kind of, you just got that troubled look, and you're just in the mully grubs. And it may be, I don't know, but you do. It may be because there's some sin in your life that you need to say, okay, God, I give it to you. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living this unhappy life. I know that the Christian life is a happy life, but I know I'm saved, but There's some things in my life that's taken my joy. And God, I'm going to give it to you tonight. God, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to see if there would be any wicked way in me. God, I whatever it is, I give it to you. Because I want to leave. I'm tired of being unhappy, and I want to leave the church tonight with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I want to go back to that calmness that I had. Even though I may be going through trials, I want to go back to that calmness and that joy that the Christian life brings. Joy disappeared because of a struggle. You're not willing to give it a gun. That trial. You think nobody understands. Listen to me. God does. God knows right where you are tonight. And Christian, you know what? He wants you just to go ahead and say, just bring it to me. Come here. Come unto me. Just bring it to me. Maybe here tonight, maybe you just aren't acknowledging all the goodness that God has given you. You're kind of spoiled, and you just kind of in your own little world. And the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, you're not really happy. You're not really happy. You're busy, even as a Christian, you're busy attaining things. You're busy attaining things that again, you can't take with you. And you know the greatest place to find joy is get busy serving God. You know, the greatest fellowship and the greatest joy that I have is going soul winning with another brother or serving God on a bus or different things like that. There's joy there. But so often, we become in our own little world, even as Christians. We're still attaining all the things that life can give and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, we've not attempted to win a soul to Christ. We've not attempted to go ahead and take our Christian life to another level or something like that, and you've got no joy. And maybe tonight God says, why don't you try serving me? Why don't you tonight say, you know what, get in my Bible more, pray more, find that time between you and him, shutting all things off, the cell phone off. You know what, why don't you go ahead and serve me, and you'll find joy. And maybe there's no joy tonight because somebody's here. You don't know the one that gives all joy. That's Jesus Christ. But if that's you tonight, well, I'd settle that thing. I'd settle it. Lost your joy tonight, friend? Teenager, you lost your joy? Teenager, you got some things in your heart that you may have, you're hiding on mom and dad. But the truth of the matter is, mom and dad's usually wise enough to see it. But you're trying to hide it on people. You got some things, teenager, you need to go ahead and say, okay, God, here. Adults, what is it? What is it? What is it you're battling with? What is it that the flesh and the Holy Spirit's warring about right now? You want joy tonight? Why don't you just decide tonight, okay, God, I'm through playing games. I give it to you. Heartache. God, you can't see this heartache through, God. You just don't, yes, he does. And he said, just bring it. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you, for he careth for you. Our Heavenly Father, sure to love you. Another simple, practical message tonight. But God, you know my heart tonight. You know more than anything, I love these people and I want them to be prosperous. I want them to have joy. I want them to have peace. I want them to have the fruits of the Spirit portrayed in their life. But maybe there are some issues tonight that just need to be settled between you and them. Some individual, some teenager, some parent, some family. I don't know what it is, but maybe some things need to be settled tonight, laid on the altar. Maybe you're trying to clean up someone's act, but they're kind of quenching you. They're pushing you away. I pray, God, that they'll go ahead and drop the guard, say, okay, God, you got me. You do whatever you need to do. Maybe there's someone here tonight that does not know Jesus as Savior. I pray, dear God, that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray they wouldn't put it off. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here tonight. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart. Would you please pray for me? That's me. Would you raise your hand? That's it. Several hands. That God spoke to my heart. And I want to encourage you later on when the music plays, I surrender all. Why don't you surrender that to Jesus? You may put your hands down, maybe here tonight. Say, preacher, I can't have the joy that the Christian life can bring because I don't know the joy, the one that gives all joy. That's Jesus Christ. I'm through playing games. I'm through going ahead and putting this salvation business off. Tonight, I'm going to get saved. That's me. I will not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. I don't care who you are. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior, would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I want to be saved, and I'm through. I want the joy that other Christians have, but I know I can't have it until I go ahead and I settle some business with Jesus Christ and get saved and ask Christ to come into my heart. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Anybody at all? That's me. Would you please pray for me? That's it. Anybody? That's it. Come on. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for this message. Pray, God, that you'll do business. Holy Spirit, whatever you want done tonight, would you do it? Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. The pianist is going to play, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. You raised your hand a while ago for anything. Why don't you decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to do business with God tonight. Hey, the pianist isn't even playing yet, but you can start moving. Go ahead.
Laughter there.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight's message. Lord, thank you. Heavenly Father, that you are for us, and we can have joy tonight, Lord, in your service. And in serving you tonight, oh Lord, thank you for this message we heard tonight, that may throughout this week, Lord, we may look for an opportunity to put into practice what we heard. Lord, preaching demands a response, and a response of the heart. Lord, help us to put this message into practice, that we may rejoice, and that we may find joy, and that we may do what we are called to do through you, that you may be glorified in us. We pray that you be with every person here. Lord, keep them safely till we meet again, that we might glorify you and have another opportunity to hear preaching and then again respond. And then again, Lord, get our hearts closer to you so we can draw nigh to you and you draw nigh to us. In Jesus' name, amen.